Let us pause. Oh God, we thank you for your word to us. Sometimes your word is puzzling and confusing and confounding. At times we don't understand what the true meanings are, but oh God, we trust your spirit will continue to move within us so that it becomes clear. So may all that we say and do be glorifying to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. How many of you used to watch the show Laurel and Hardy? Yes, quite a few. I used to watch it as a kid, and I used to get confused between the Three Stooges and that one, and who said what, and the antics, but I remember at the show Laurel and Hardy, the big guy would often say to the skinny guy, well, that's another fine mess that you've gotten us into. And then the skinny guy would go like that, and I'm sorry, Ollie, I think he used to say. But they usually said it when there was some comedy of errors or some mishaps or a quandary or a dilemma. And at times, the viewer would look at that and say, I wonder how they're going to get after that or get out of that. In today's scripture, the master and the manager and the debtors are all in a mess. And the mess is this. A master has entrusted some of his investment properties to a manager, but according to verse 1, the manager was wasting his assets. The Greek word is diaskorpizo, which is also used in Matthew like the scattering of sheep or the squandering of how the prodigal son went on a spending frenzy. Or another one was about the scattering of the seeds. The same word is used. So whether it's by carelessness or irresponsibility or impulse spending or lack of planning, the master's money is being wasted away. It's being lessened. There's a loss of income. So the master understands that things are in a disarray and that he's losing value and not receiving any benefits or any profits. So the master's solution is to fire the manager. And the manager leaves things in a mess. And the manager's life is a mess. And the master's properties are a mess. Frequently, we go through messes in our own lives, and we ask the questions, how did I get in this mess? Why didn't we know about the mess earlier so we could have prevented it? If only I had known about it, I would have done something sooner. But if we knew about it sooner, we would have done something about it sooner, right? Now, did the manager intentionally try to make a mess? Did the manager say in his mind, I'm going to mess things up for my master? Did the manager say to himself, I'm going to make my life a mess? I'm going to make a mess for all these other investors. Or could it be that the manager was making just some simple mistakes? And what was the system of reporting, or what was the accountability? And apparently there's no system. And so most likely the mess was a result of different mistakes here and there and a perfect storm. So do you blame the one person, or do you blame the group of people who know something about it, or do you blame the master because the master should have been keeping closer track of things and must have been informed? We could say all of the above. Yes, it's that one person's fault. Yes, it's all these people's fault who knew about it. Or yes, it's the master's fault. What we could say is we need to share the responsibility. It's not just one person and it's not just a group of people, but everyone who is of sound judgment and of wise decision-making should be held responsible and accountable. Someone should have been asking questions or raising issues or checking in, but apparently they let it go, and they let it go too long. But the answer should be, we're in this together, and we need to work on this together, and we need to see it through together. Finally, someone spoke up and started reporting to the rich master, oh, something's wrong, and something is happening. And so, finally, the master took action and fired the manager. Now, when a person is fired, what normally happens? That person is simply released of responsibility or duty, that there is a separation. There's a termination of contact and contract, and the employee hopefully moves on. But according to this scripture, it doesn't end. The former manager decides to take some actions. He strategizes. He makes some deals. He tries to make amends somehow. And he does so because his survival is at stake. So he takes some steps to try some things out to make things better. But better for who? What does he do? He goes to those who owe debts, and he makes deals with them. He gives the debtors a cut rate on what they owe. And to the one who owes 100 measures of oil, he says, cut that in half. To the debtor that owes 50 or 100 measures of wheat, he says, now you only owe 80. The manager's solution is a surprise, and the master's reaction is also a surprise. What is the manager's position and solution? The manager decides, I'm going to make the debtors happy. So he gives them a break. He gives them a discount. What he gives them is grace. When we're in a mess, the message is, give others a break. Be graceful. Give them grace. The solution is make other people happy and come up with responses that we are to help the greater group and just be helpful in general. Be generous with grace and patience and forgiveness. Now, the reaction from the master, you would think, would be of more anger and more disgust, because the master will be losing more money and more profit and get deeper into deficit. And you would think that the master would be enraged at the manager. After all, the manager doesn't have the authority to do that stuff. But the reaction is the opposite. The master is pleased. The master is happy. The master has a change of heart. The master has a change of opinion of the manager. And it's surprising and it's shocking and it just doesn't make sense. At first, at the beginning of the parable, the supreme value is grow the investment, manage the investment. But in the end, the high value was in lessening the burden of those and lightening the load. Give out grace and don't be so hardcore about what is earned or what is deserved. Even though the master fired the manager, in the end, the message seems to be it's not about the money. It wasn't the profit margin that mattered. What mattered was giving a break to those who are burdened and indebted and continuing to work with them and network with them and maintain the relationship with them. All of this made the master find favor with the manager. The punchline at the end in the section says, you cannot serve God and money. God is about forgiveness and grace and relationship and not about the bottom line dollar figure, but about relationships. One day a man went up to John Wesley, who's a founder of United Methodism, and said, "All is dark. My thoughts are lost. But I hear that you are preaching to people day and night. What do you do for them? Where do you lead them? What religion do you preach? And what is it good for?" And Wesley replied this way, "What do I do for them? I make them virtuous and happy, easy in themselves and useful to other people. Where would I lead them? I lead them to God and to heaven and to the lover of all and to Jesus, the mediator, the new covenant. What religion do I preach? I preach the religion of love, the law of kindness brought to the light by the gospel. And what is it good for? To all who receive it, to enjoy God and to enjoy themselves and to make them like God and lovers of all, contented in their lives and crying out at their death in calm assurance, 'O grave, where is your victory? Thanks be to God who gives me victory through Christ Jesus.' What pleased the master was that the manager acknowledged and recognized that he needed to change. What pleased the master was that the manager came to the realization that there's a problem and there's a discovery of the situation and his ability to respond with grace and in a grace-filled way to salvage relationships, to solve the mess, to make amends. Holocaust survivor and author Elie Wiesel said this. He said, "The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference. The opposite of art isn't ugliness, it's indifference. The opposite of faith is not heresy, it's indifference. The opposite of life is not death, it's indifference." Perhaps the manager was indifferent to his morals and his ethics. Perhaps the manager was indifferent to his responsibility to his master. Perhaps he was indifferent to all the debtors. After all, it was their problem and not his. They had to pay. The manager could have continued to be indifferent, even being fired. Perhaps what pleased the master the most was that the manager was able to recognize his indifference and to do something about it, to practice grace and love and charity. How do we get out of our mess? We move out of our indifference and we do something good for God and neighbor and the family and the community. And we put in practice good grace. Amen. Amen. Amen.